Welcome to We the People. 7,000 Indians die because of hunger, because of not having enough food every single day. 20 crore Indians sleep hungry every night. One would think it's a no-brainer to say that the right to food should be a universal right. And yet, the food security bill, the right to food, has become one of the most politically and economically divisive subjects in recent times. There's of course the politics of it, with the Congress and the BJP blaming each other for the non-passage of the right to food bill. But there's also a larger, deeper philosophical debate, with many economists and commentators arguing that if this bill, the UPA's flagship scheme, actually goes through, it's going to keep the poor poor, and the figures, the subsidies that will go into it, are a cost that the country simply cannot afford. On the program today, why is the template for providing food security to Indians become something that we cannot agree on? Let me start with you, Sandeep Dixit. The fact of the matter is that the Congress is transferring the blame for why this bill has not been passed to the BJP's disruptions of Parliament. But everybody can also see that the urgency to push it through, the talk about an ordinance, the talk about bringing in some of the proposals through an executive order, are now coming only as we're a few months away from elections. In other words, it's a political calculation.
I think let me first take you back to your first point as to, you know, whether we are actually blaming somebody for passage of a bill or not. I think that is only concerned with this session. In fact, the delays in the bill have not been really due to any party's politics, but due to a long time that the standing committee took, the difference of opinion within different departments of the government, difference of opinion generally. And I think in terms of discussing, perhaps this has been a far more contentious and discussed bill than most others we've had. And therefore, I think it took a long time. I think let's keep the politics out of this.
So you're saying the delay is because it's been discussed threadbare. That it is one of those rare bills discussed threadbare.
For example, if you take the National Rural Employment Guarantee Act, I was in the standing committee on that.
Yeah.
I think it was far more smoother because it came in, not many people, both sides of the fence, those who liked it or didn't like it, didn't really think it's a bill that's going to have far-reaching consequences.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of food security is something I think people took a stand, perhaps more understood, more knowledgeable, more nuanced, and maybe that's why I think it's something that has taken time. I would personally say that while it has taken time, I think I would welcome the fact that there has been a debate, it's been healthy, all sides have put their opinion through. And I hope that what is coming through is something that is
balanced. Are you going to wait till the next session, or are you going to go for an ordinance?
That depends on the government. I can't comment.
A bill like this should be brought in through an ordinance?
I don't know. It's a very important bill, right? And I mean, unless the government believes that you can bring it in, there are no differences of opinion really in terms of various details. I mean, details can always be sorted out.
Yeah.
You can always make changes whenever a bill comes post ordinance.
Yeah.
I would very dearly believe and hope that it gets passed within the next, either within the next monsoon session, whether we pass the ordinance or we pass the bill.
Prakash Javrekar, this is a bill that nobody is actually politically opposed. Yet it has actually taken a long time, reaching a point where it can be brought to Parliament. Sandeep Dixit says that's because it's a bill that's taken a long time debating and giving shape and form to. Is that what's happening, or is it that actually privately a number of politicians do share the opinions of some of the skeptics whom we'll hear from this evening and publicly don't want to be seen as opposing it? So in a way, it's like the women's reservation bill, which a lot of people will pay lip service to, but I can bet that that's never coming through in my lifetime.
This is absolutely true as far as this women reservation bill is, and we have seen how people play out their own ideologies. As far as the food security is concerned, BJP is of the opinion it is not only the food security, the job security, and that social security. This is the mixture which India needs at this point of time of development. And to ensure that, so we started on our own. In Chhattisgarh, we enacted a law giving food security to 90% universal coverage, barring only income taxpayers and 10 acres and above.
So let me ask you something.
So we have already done it. There is a law ministry which is objecting to whether government should issue the ordinance or not. So there is differences within the government, as Sandeep rightly put it out. For 9 years, UPA is in power. And they thought of food security bill only at the last year.
He's saying it's being discussed for the last 2 years because it's a bill that was discussed threadbare.
I think the hunger is not the problem of 2013. It is the result of the Congress disastrous economy.
Let me ask you something. You did allow Parliament to function for enough time for the finance bill to be passed because you saw it as your constitutional duty. Does the opposition also not think it's a constitutional duty to allow a bill that's about the right to food to be passed in a country where more than 40% of our children under 6 are malnourished? If you agree with the bill. Obviously, if you don't agree, that's a different
debate. We agree with the spirit of the bill.
Yeah.
But the bill passage and the logjam in Parliament, it was related to the monumental corruption and its cover-up. So we asked resignation of two ministers.
Yeah.
And ultimately that happened. If that would have happened in the very first week, then the Parliament would have worked.
You want to come in just briefly, and then I want to take it to Sajid Bhalla. Yeah.
All that I'm going to say is, I hope we, kind of keep the politics out
yes.
of it.
Yeah.
Javedkar Sahab has referred to it. But I think if we have to bring politics into it, then we defeat the purpose of discussing the bill here.
So I'll tell you why politics is connected. Because there are those here. There are those here who don't agree with the bill.
That's
who say it's about populism.
That is completely different.
That has been one of the criticisms, Surjit Bhalla, people like yourselves have made. That this is a fiscally irresponsible plan. That it's well-intentioned, but it's a bad idea.
You know, three people have spoken.
Yeah.
You're the only one who stated some facts. And actually, it turns out to be massively wrong facts.
Which ones?
The two politicians go all around the circles and don't bother ever addressing the issue.
Okay.
Now, I certainly didn't expect better from them, but I do expect better from you.
Which of my facts are you contesting?
Let me tell you the statistics that just flow off. Some 30% of the population goes hungry every night or something like that.
20%.
Now, either you say that, look, Barkha Dutt knows or we
what
the
hunger
people
is.
Knows, or we try and rely on government's own statistics departments, the National Sample Survey.
And you've been making the argument that poverty is going down.
Yes. Let me just give you the numbers. Yeah. Since 1951, they've been conducting this survey. They used to ask the question, and they no longer ask that question as to, does anybody in your house not get 2 square meals a day? That proportion is now less than 1%.
So what is your figure?
I don't have a figure. My own figure is the NSS figure, which is less than 1%. Basically, in terms of, let us say, so that figure is wrong. The one on malnourishment is wrong. They are malnourished. What we do find is that everybody across the board, how is malnourishment measured? By how many calories you take. There has been a decline of 20% even amongst the richest and indeed the poorest of the number of calories they take. So therefore, to derive malnourishment figures from calorie consumption is just plain wrong. We should be talking about, we want to give the food security to the poor, just like we wanted to give employment to the poor. The Congress has a particularly bad habit that they come in and believe that they are inventing something. We have had the PDS system, which is precisely what the food security system is, since 1975. We've had the employment guarantee scheme since 1973. I can't even begin to criticize because it is just mindless.
You have quoted government figures.
Yeah.
So have I. My figure on the how many children are malnourished in this country comes from the Ministry of Statistics. It is a government figure.
Your figure, which was completely wrong, because as I said,
I have sourced it also from the same government that you're sourcing your figures from.
How many people go to hungry every night? That percentage of the population, 20 crores or whatever it was, 200 million, 20 crores.
Yeah.
You said 200 million people go home hungry every night. I'm asking you.
These are government figures. Government reports.
Which government? You probably heard some propaganda from the Congress.
Okay, let's get Sudha Pillai in 1 second.
She's at the planning
committee. All right. Why I would be a propagandist for poverty, I don't know. But let's get Sudha Pillai into this conversation. What I'm hearing from Surjit is I've got it all wrong. Actually, much fewer people are hungry in this country than I have suggested. That hunger is actually not a grave problem.
I don't think we can say that hunger is not a grave problem.
Well, not as grave as I suggested.
I think hunger is a grave problem, but I also have encountered contradictions in the data and the statistics that have been actually put out at various points of time.
But because we're all quoting from government reports.
But the fact remains that no government can actually afford to have a policy which leaves a lot of people out of the security net insofar as basic needs are concerned.
But Surjit Bhalla's point would be legitimate in saying that if you can't agree on how many people actually need a scheme, then how can you agree on what the best way is to deliver it? And therefore, while I can't prove to him that my statistic is actually as accurate as his, is there a confusion over how many people we're actually addressing?
You could have a session completely devoted to that. You know?
Gosh. Okay.
So I'd like to come in here if I may.
Karuna Nandi, you've been also associated with the drafts of this bill. So go ahead.
All this debate over how many people are hungry, and I think you're absolutely wrong, actually, Mr. Bhalla, in looking at calorific content. Right? What you should be looking at is nutrition. Starvation, nutrition, hunger, these are all intertwined. And yes, the figures on that are intensely debatable. This is the precise problem with setting percentages. For poor people to prove that they're the right kind of poor people to benefit from a particular entitlement is hugely onerous, right? Yeah. When we are trying to benefit the least advantaged, we cannot expect the same level of documentation that we require from an exclusion category such as Chhattisgarh. And I will say actually that the Chhattisgarh government actually has done an extremely good job. But the Chhattisgarh government says that, look, if you pay income tax, if you have above 10 acres, then you cannot be a part of it. Everyone else is a part of it. You see? And Jean Dres has done a calculation, and he said that if you spend an additional 20,000 crores, you include everybody.
So universalize it, in a sense.
Universalize it, but plus the more privileged people are then able to make the system work for everybody.
Yeah. Gochiran, is the debate? I think Karuna raises an interesting and an important question. Are we putting the onus on the poor to prove how poor they are? And you know, it makes it sound as if we are, in a sense, saying, hey, you need just this much, you don't need more.
Yeah, but why should we be judging? Surjit's point is a very good one. But look, we have a survey which asks people, who goes hungry in your family? In 1983, that figure was 15%. In 2002, that figure had come down to 2%.
Suppose their idea of not going hungry is to have a roti and a pyaz. Is that the food they need?
The key problem with this whole food security bill is that it's going to 70% of the people are going to get food at 10% of the cost, when only 1% should be targeted for this food. 69% is a waste.
Sandeep, Surjit is 1,000 times more accomplished than me in understanding data. I read government reports. I quoted from the same reports. If I'm inaccurate, does it change the substance of the debate?
I mean, this is something you can always debate, right? Yeah. But as you said, does it actually remove the need for a bill like this? I don't think it does, because there are still vast amount of instances of there being evidence of malnourishment. There are also a lot of information that is coming out, which is saying that the more universal it is, the better is the distribution. So I think in that sense, the bill has tried to be kind of a balance between how much we can actually afford, how much grains are actually available, and what is the final extent to which the government thinks it can go to. There may be some of us who may not deserve it. That's fair enough, you know. Even if some undeserving people get grains,
that was my question.
At 13 rupees or 15 rupees a kilo, government is losing, but is society losing?
But Sandeep,
one of you, and then, because yes, one at a time, please.
Let me just give you numbers from 2009-10 for Delhi. Of the total number of food grains that were distributed by the PDS system in Delhi, 23% of that food grains went to the poor. 77% went to the non-poor. Second, how much does it account for the total consumption of the poor in Delhi? The food that they get from the PDS, it accounted for 11% of the non-poor who are getting all of this money, all of this, it only barely accounted for 6%. The point is, this is the most corrupt, massively wasteful program.
Hang on. So is your problem with the delivery mechanism, or is it with the principle?
No, both. The point is the delivery mechanism.
Okay, Mr. Parikh has been waiting a long time to speak. Prakash Javrekar and then Mr. Parikh.
We can be debating for days together about malnutrition and hunger and things, but main issue of any scheme which is not universal is targeting versus universalization, in which exclusion and inclusion errors are 30%, and our PDS record, it is 30-40% as per the government reports. Exactly. So 60% of the scheme goes every. And not the targeted people get all things. The criteria, universalization, quantity, cost, everything is important. And when you talk of nutrition, it is not only cereals.
Yeah.
It is about the pulses.
Yeah,
it is about the other things that are important. Which that Chhattisgarh bill gives that chana dal, the other pulses, and the salt which is needed by the tribals also.
That was my question in a sense to you, Gurcharan, that actually I'm not sure that these surveys where you're asking somebody ki aaj aapne kuch khaya, haan maine aaj kuch khaya, is the measurement of whether they're getting the food they need. That, yeah. But Kirit Parikh, if I can get you into this conversation, you have long argued it when we were debating the poverty line, for example, and where to draw it, that because this is so contentious, it's almost easier to see who should be left out.
That's
rather than to agree on who should be included.
Yeah, I think our record and our ability to identify the poor is virtually zero.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think it's a lot easier to identify the rich and exclude them. So I, to that extent, I agree with the bill that yes, we'll not give it to the top 30% or so. One is also convinced that yes, if there are poor people who are going hungry, you should give them food and food security should be provided. Nutrition is a different thing. And I think there are also questions about our nutritional data, because we are measuring using international standards and they are not appropriate for India. And if you take that, then the malnutrition level would come down significantly. While one would support the basic idea of the bill that yes, I do want to give food to the poor, we should also think about what will be the impact of it on poverty level, on let's say on the nutritional level, on the economy, and if it's inflationary, would the poor be hurt more than what they would benefit from this? And finally, we should also look at what will it do to the food production. Unless Food Corporation of India is able to procure food grains from every nook and corner and every farmer of the country, which I think is a horrendously difficult task, you will see a significant fall in food grains production because of this bill. Consider, suppose you are a farmer growing mostly coarse grains, largely for your own self-consumption, and suddenly you find that you can buy these food grains at 1 rupee. You are not going to grow food grains unless you are convinced that the government will buy it from you at 11 rupees.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I'm questioning.
But in general, you do support it. I'll just come to you, Karuna. I have sitting next to me somebody who actually, when there was this whole debate going on how many rupees you needed to live in India, was it 32, was it 100? Tushar actually went out and tried to live on 100 rupees a day. And this is actually relevant to a lot of people in our class who try to judge, though we would never be able to live at that level, what's good enough for other people to live on.
Yeah.
What did you find?
First of all, in that 1 month, I lost about 5 kilos of weight. Mm. That might be good for people like us. But what I did find is that at 32 rupees a day, I could not get more than about 1,200 calories, no matter how hard I tried. And guess what? Only 8% of that calories was protein, which was extremely deficient. It needs to be closer to 20% according to National Institute of Nutrition. So I was severely malnourished.
And how long did you do this experiment?
It's for 1 month. So
in 1 month, you feel you were malnourished?
Oh, absolutely. My cholesterol levels had fallen below the healthy levels. I did lose about 5 kilos. The point being, even if you look at what the current Food Security Act offers, right, it actually is only 250 grams of cereals, of carbohydrates, right? Now, actually, Varka, if you don't mind, this app called Healthify Me. We built it for India. Look at this. At 800 calories is what you get out of 250 grams of rice, right? That's almost less than half of what you need to sustain on. And look at the carbs value. They are fine. Protein and fat is almost non-existent here, right? You possibly don't even get your nutrition with what the food bill is even advocating now.
But then when you hear Gurcharan or Surjit make the argument, but we asked people, this was a survey, and they said we do not sleep hungry at night.
Trust me, I slept hungry at night. I slept with farmers who were sleeping hungry at night. And the current food bill, I disagree with it in the extent that they are providing food subsidy to the general category, which to an extent does not require the subsidy. On the other hand, to the priority households, not only is the nutrition provided currently not enough, it's completely carbs. It's, you're making the country diabetic.
But he's saying we shouldn't be subsidizing it at all.
That's completely wrong. So in fact, I would take off the subsidy from the general category and put it on the priority.
Yes, Surjit. Yeah.
I mean, this kind of calculation, we can go on and on, but very simply.
Yeah, and
just
you
to
lose all in data.
Directly to this.
Yeah.
Your number is 100 rupees and you still go hungry.
32 rupees is what I was.
No.
Yeah.
But 100 rupees, you're still feeling malnourished? Or?
100 rupees, sir, I could meet 1800 calories, but I could not get enough protein.
Yeah. So therefore, over the last 60 years, at least, the incomes of the poor have tripled. Why don't we look at how they've survived? Have they all died along the way?
But sir, look at your workers. Are they not bone thin?
What has happened?
Do they have muscles? They get arthritis at the age of 40. They retire much earlier on than any other international standard. And they can't even take their last
poor in any case.
Sorry. How are you?
How are you defining poor? How are you defining non-starvation? What kind of, how do you break up this calorific content? Does it consist of wheat? This is actually one of the problems with the build, you know. This is quickly and then Gurcharan and then Sudha. Yeah.
You know, there are two ways by which generally accepted in the world about the definition of poverty, which has been going on for the last 50 years. One is the Tendulkar poverty line, which is your famous 32 rupees a day. The second is the World Bank.
So you are quoting the World Bank. Let me quote the ICMR. ICMR says 14 kgs of food grains per month are required for adults and 7 kgs for children.
The World Bank does not define in terms of the consumption basket. It defines in terms of total income.
But here's,
Surjeet
and Karuna, if I can take this conversation beyond, because here's the point. I just dug up where I quoted that statistic from, and it was a UN report quoted by the government in Parliament.
Must have been the Congress government.
But it's still the government. You quoted the same government. But it's quoted by
Pakistan.
This is not a Congress BJP conversation.
I don't want to make this a Congress versus something, but you know,
I completely agree.
One second. It's just a comment. You think we may be claiming credit for something which our previous governments did, fair enough. But don't say we claim credit for something we didn't do.
My question to you, Sudha Pillai, is this. Shouldn't the focus be on how we actually get food to the people who need it, how we avoid leakages, what the delivery mechanism is, instead of debating how many people really need that food?
Yeah, I think that the discussion within the ministries actually hinged on that, on how to make sure that you actually spend taxpayers' money in a manner that actually it benefits the people who really need it. Empirically, if you look around, whether in Delhi or in Gurgaon or in any part of India, you find malnourishment staring you in the face. The minute you get into a district and you begin to see how people live, I think you really have to accept the fact that by 40, 45, they are all finished. The wage earner, the head of the family, so to say, is, I think, finished. And many of them actually need a lot of liquor to...
To get through and keep going. All right, let's take a question here that I want to focus on whether the delivery mechanism is actually what we should be talking about, especially after the CAG audit, recent audit of the National Rural Employment Guarantee Scheme. So much wasted, so many leakages. Isn't that where this debate should be about instead of, whether people really need food? Let's take a question here.
Why 30% of the people, poor people, should be suffering because of the 70% of ineffective implementation? That's not their problem. People are drinking water and killing their hunger. Yes, the 40% what Barkha has quoted, even the government of India said that 48% of the children under 5 are malnourished in India. It's a serious concern.
Okay. Let's not make this the issue of compassion. All of
why
us.
Why not?
All of
hang
us.
On, why not? Hang on, why not?
It's an issue of rights, not of why not? Actually, this is a democracy.
Look, the state is never. The state never shows as much compassion as it should. I don't really care about the Congress, BJP, but it's the Indian state.
No, I think my point is. Look, my point.
It's an issue of rights.
Hang on.
Established by the Supreme Court.
Let's not think with our hearts. Let's think with our heads.
Let's think with both.
And so.
Yeah.
No, you can't think with your head.
No.
But go
ahead. Yes. People should not be hungry in our country, but the issue is that successful countries succeed in finding ways to target the right people. And so I think that what is not being discussed here is there's a lot more. When you are saying, it's only food, let's give it away. Well, you know, what's the opportunity loss? This scheme is going to cost 100,000 crores per year. Now, if you were to target it, it would come down to far less. If that 100,000 crores could be spent on public goods, on better law and order, on better electricity, on water roads, would create investment.
Can I take
you
that
would, one second. Yes. You would create jobs. Those jobs would result in...
Absolutely.
There are more revenues to the government who could invest more in public goods.
Okay.
You'd get into a circle of prosperity.
So Prakash Javedekar, can I take this to him? This argument that in a sense politics tend to lock people into poverty. I think I've heard that a lot. And that there's not enough entrepreneurship. There's not. It's the state abdicating its duty when it creates a dole instead of creating an opportunity for eventual employment and economic self-reliance.
These are the two streams of... ideology, or you can say this is the real debate.
Yeah.
what is the way for poverty alleviation?
Yeah.
Is it about entitlement only? Or as Guru Charan ji is saying, is it the infrastructure, job opportunities with dignity and self-respect, education, health? That's the government job. And then people fend for themselves because they are empowered.
But the BJP is supporting the bill.
1 minute.
The BJP is supporting the bill.
Yeah. We are supporting for various reasons, and the main reason is the world is witnessing food inflation going down after recession, and it is only the India which is having 10% to 20% of food inflation. So this actually takes away the pressure of inflation. You are asking about one thing also, food chain. Unless you have a food production security, you can't deliver food security. And that was point raised by Kirit ji also.
Yeah.
Even agriculture minister is on record saying that this is what is going to happen. I must tell you that in the bill there is a surreptitious provision about cash transfers being replaced for PDS.
Yes.
We will never allow and will never pass that provision.
Okay, I'm glad you've raised that. You will say no to cash transfers. I'm going to take that around the panel. Let's just take a question here.
As Indian citizen, I think it's our right to have the right access to the food. It's late and there are many issues, but in spite of that, I think it's high time we introduce this bill and we see to it its implementation in full force. There may be corruption, there may be many issues, but we can still cross over and make it into a full implementation.
You're saying that even with all its faults, this is worth going through. Let's come to the point raised by Prakash Javrekar on cash transfers. Karuna, if you want to come in there, and then Kirit Parekh.
The point he's raising on cash transfers is in fact addressed by this previous point, which is food inflation. You give somebody, you know, there was a debate even within the Congress government on whether the entitlements should be given through cash transfers or whether through food guarantees.
Yeah.
There is a section, unfortunately, in the bill which allows a complete transition from one to the other without any barriers whatsoever.
Yeah.
So one of the things that some of the architects of the bill, not sensibly at all, and I will tell you why. If you have a certain amount of money, your food may not be available, your food may be priced much higher, and so you may not even get the food.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a woman-headed household, that the woman is appointed head of the household, sort of improves matters somewhat, and a lot of studies show that from the World Bank and other places. but cash, when it comes to food, doesn't do the same job at all.
I think that Kirit made an excellent point that what the PDS system does is that it distorts the economy, sends the wrong signal to producers and consumers, and ultimately it's far better to target the poor, and now with the Aadhaar scheme as it expands, we will have the capability to target and deliver cash to the poor. This is the best form, because what
so
you do
think
is
cash transfer should replace PDS?
Yes, absolutely.
But let me point a couple of things.
Not what they're saying in the bill. There's a provision for
transfer. No, I think the Congress would allow for the option of cash transfer. Right?
It's in the bill, but that's
in
what
the bill.
Party is really
is it a yes or a
so
no? What is it? What is the position?
Can be amended.
Sandeep, it is in the bill as an amendment. It's in the bill as an amendment.
But maybe it can be.
Okay. And when it's you're assuming an answer, that's all.
Okay, what is your answer?
We are very clear. I think the NSC was very clear, and the government ultimately.
No, the NSC is not the government. No.
They're the ones who.
It's not the government.
The confusion is there.
Yeah. That's where the confusion is.
Okay. It's
a super government. It's a
real government.
It's
not super government. It's not one of the
really
people
actually.
Who give us advice. Yeah.
A lot of that stuff doesn't get implemented.
No, but you haven't told me what is the Congress position on cash transfers.
As far as subsidies concerned, it has to be grains. I mean, it has to be in kind. I think there is no two opinions.
Hang on. So the provision in the bill which says that there can be cash transfers and states can opt for that, you don't agree with that?
Is that
I
a
personally
mistake?
Don't. No.
So how did it get into the bill?
There may be parts of it. See, that's another thing. Whether state governments have actually asked for it or not.
No.
Okay. Also remember, I don't know, sir, Prakash ji.
Yeah.
You both of us have been
not
in standing committees.
Yeah.
What states say in standing committees is very different from their political positioning.
So you're saying that even though it's a provision in the bill, even though it's a provision in the bill, you don't support cash in lieu of grain?
No.
Okay, Kirit Parekh. Yeah.
First, let me say Aadhaar-based cash transfer can be possible, but one has to recognize that Aadhaar does not identify the poor.
And everyone
Aadhaar can only
accounts.
Say who is who. So the ability to identify the poor is very, very limited. So I would agree with cash transfer, or rather a different kind of giving it, targeting through a mechanism by which you say, I have given you Aadhaar card, you know, I have empowered this Aadhaar card to buy so many kilograms of food grains at market prices, whatever that may be, and the difference between that and the government defined price, the government will transfer the money to that account.
Surjit, briefly.
You know, one, I agree that cash transfers won't come to be because of the simple reason that there are many, many people, many, many state governments who are profiting from the PDS.
Yeah.
And if you were to bring in cash transfer, which I think must and should be brought in, there'll be several people who will lose their, if you will, livelihoods. Corruption, you have not seen corruption as it has existed in the PDS for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Second is, you know, why don't we look at what's happening in the rest of the world? You know, there are, after all, 6 billion people elsewhere. They're faced with the same problems. Mm. And if you will, almost universally, including Pakistan, started a cash transfer program called the Benazir Income Support Program, which only goes to the women head of households, back in 2008. And in 2013, we're debating whether we should, the merits of the cash transfer program. So the political economy of the poverty industry is really what is at fault over here.
Okay.
And what is really, really corrupt is the poverty industry.
All right. The poverty industry, you seem to suggest, is being patronized by the politicians. You had both the politicians here actually saying, we will oppose cash transfers in lieu of grain, even though that is an amendment actually in the present bill. When we'll take a break. When we come back, final comments from our panel on these amendments. Which ones, what is going to be the final shape of this? And the most important point, that if we accept that the public distribution system is a corrupt system, then how do you avoid that from being replicated in this mechanism to deliver food to all our citizens? Coming back with final comments after the break. On We the People, it's rare for India's middle class to talk about that section of the country that doesn't even get enough food on their table. There has been a heated debate here over how many people those are, but the fact is that there is a substantial population. However you quantify it in the end, there are many, many people who still go hungry. Why has the food security bill become such a political hot potato for the politicians? They're almost agreed on it, but public opinion is sharply divided. Before we take final comments from our panel, let's take some questions from the audience.
How can we expect such an important bill to be passed and implemented when even after 2 years of stringent discussions, we are yet discussing if this is a grave concern or not? Sandeep Dixit sir here clearly said that he himself is not sure if such a bill would be brought about in the parliament in the next session or in the next monsoon. Do 7,000 deaths or even few deaths every day, don't they matter anything to the government?
Sandeep, if you want to briefly take that.
See, the debate and the issues that need to be discussed will remain. All that I'm saying is I think it's good that we went through some form of discussion, you know.
Okay.
Very often, in fact, we say that government brings out bills without any debate.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a question.
Yeah, actually, it's very important that we address the issue of universalization versus targeting, because how does the plan decide on covering the fiscal deficit? What subsidies are they going to cut? Are they going to take away, like, the subsidies on petroleum and coal, which is like 2% of the GDP?
Can we afford this bill?
No, yeah. I think it's a great point, the kerosene subsidy, right? Now, you can't probably chop kerosene in a day, but you could consider it in a period of a 10-year period. I mean, the statistics very clearly say that the kerosene is actually used for lighting by the rural India.
I don't know a politician who would lift the kerosene subsidy.
Yeah,
actually,
not for food.
It was lifted. We were suggesting the government that kerosene is the first item which you can take on for a coupon system because the prices of diesel petrol are in a way administered, even if they are free-flowing.
Yeah.
They can't go rooftop in a day like the food prices can go. But as far as the food grain is concerned, the PDS to be PDS, you can make it better. The Chhattisgarh model everybody praises. If they can make with the help of technology from farm to consumer, why other states and central government can't do that?
But what I have not understood, and somebody has to explain this to me, what I have not understood, let me take this to you, Karuna, that if we accept that the PDS system has been corrupted, there is a lot of wastage, there is a lot of leakage, why are we still seeing opposition to cash transfers?
There's no guarantee that the leakage will be any different with cash transfers. There are a lot of myths being built around Aadhaar.
But at least it won't go to a middleman.
What?
Well, you know, a lot of people, most people don't have bank accounts.
What
Let's
I'm
say most
saying.
People don't have bank accounts.
Look,
secondly, this bill actually also has a lot of accountability mechanisms, right?
Yeah.
So there are grievance redressal systems. They're not ideal. My view actually is that there should be pilots to see how they work before rolling them out across the country, which is not done at all in our country.
How can she say that? I tell you that the whole idea of cash transfers is that the Aadhaar only gives you an identity, that's all. But what you do next with it is that you create the banking structure around it, and the mobile phone allows you now to do it. Within 5 years,
it should be
a cash transfer scheme would be far superior than a PDS scheme.
What
which
will
is
do in a place where food is hugely expensive and the cash transfer is
The argument sometimes against cash transfers is that the money will be used for something else, that the money may be taken away by somebody else in the household.
There isn't enough alcohol to be consumed in India to account for all the leakages that come out from this. We've heard these arguments. I just want to ask a simple question. Why is it, makes us so special, so knowledgeable and so difficult to administer and control corruption when every other country in the world
Why are we opposing it?
These kind of arguments about grievance redressal system.
Why are the politicians opposing it? No. Why are you opposing it?
How will
you
deal with it, because PDS can be strengthened and PDS can be made more transparent and can be made efficient, and we believe that it can transfer food grains to the deserving.
Sandeep, why are you opposing it?
No, it's not a matter of opposing it.
It's
a choice we made right now.
Yeah.
It's not that. You see, first of all, it's not just this or that. Please remember that. I think my experience has been, currently the game between when this thing comes in and what food inflation prices may play may actually distort the objective of this bill. Maybe we are wrong. First of all, Barkha, this is not something that just because you are committing a bill to a particular form of payment for a while, it's disaster. And there's nothing can change.
So it doesn't have to be written in stone.
These are all works in progress.
Growth and development have always contributed towards removing poverty, and that is the conventional wisdom. But we are discussing about statistics, one also hears about the global hunger index. But nevertheless, one aspect of it is very significant, and that is populism and unbridled profligacy have a tendency to reduce growth. So rather than being able to contribute towards reduction of poverty, we may, by bringing in such schemes, virtually reduce the ability of the people in this country to overcome hunger in a better way.
Sudha, can you take that?
I think we are creating a controversy. Government's duty, if you look at any budget, there are allocations for infrastructure.
Yeah.
There are allocations for creating good jobs, what we in Labour Ministry used to call decent employment. And there is a huge number, in addition to the below poverty line people, there are a huge number of working poor who have to send their children out to work if they are to eat. I think there is no controversy between the two.
You're saying it's not either or.
So it's not,
it's not either or in terms of budgetary allocation.
It's government's duty to provide a minimum social protection.
Okay, I'm going to just take a question.
Cash can increase your purchasing power, but can it address access issues? And secondly, is it easier to move 5 quintal of wheat under your nose or 5 lakh through wire transfer?
Okay. And here's somebody who's also done surveys on why people are opposing cash, why the consumers are opposing cash.
So if you ask poor people whether they want cash or ration, you know, so we interviewed people across 9 states and more than 90% of them said they want ration. And why do they prefer food? Because in many villages they have to travel a day just to access a bank, and then they have to stand in queues, and then they have to again travel millions, I mean kind of several kilometers, just to get to the market and then come back home. And what's, and you know, if you look at pensions, the pensions amount haven't increased in years, whereas inflation has increased so much. So what's to say the same won't happen in cash, that today you're getting 600 and even after 10 years you'll continue to get 600 rupees, but the amount of purchasing power will decrease.
You want to come in there, Tushar, and then Kirit Parikh.
There can be very much in a cashless model that is, can be established. I mean, I actually spent a significant time in Chhattisgarh in the Fair Price shops myself. And one of the things they've done is created what is known as a food account. Just like your ATM, there's a food ATM. You withdraw your food, right? So the only thing is what comes into your account, that part can be done online. So you can digitally transfer food directly to the people using their mobile phones, that they can then access from the food supplies and from various food civil supplies allocations, etc., right? Potentially and gradually, even outside the FCS shops, even the outside the fair price shops, into the regular groceries as well. The point being, you can create a cashless model of digital food coupon delivery as well.
Well, let's pick up on the point of wastage, Mr. Parekh. Yeah. The point of wastage, it can be argued even in the context of cash transfer, where somebody could say that money will be spent on something else.
I think cash transfer would certainly remove the distortions in the production account supply.
Yeah.
And the you know, incentive not to produce food would be removed.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think the question about inflation and access can be addressed by saying at the same time I'm having cash transfer, I would make sure that some of the government or cooperative run shops are functioning and keeping the prices in a reasonable amount of check.
So, you know, the scheme is very much like the food stamp scheme, and we should try and look at the political economy of why the food stamp scheme has not yet been introduced. In 2006 budget, Chidambaram actually announced that there will be a food stamp scheme in India, and there were two states selected, Kerala and West Bengal. Neither one of them, if you will, started to even do a pilot project. All I'm trying to emphasize, the political economy of this, I don't know what more evidence we need. It is the political economy of this, which is, read another term for it, corruption, which is really holding things back. Yeah, why do we just admit we are just much more corrupt than any other country
but
in the
that's
world?
Not going to help
and
us.
We keep indulging in that corruptness because we believe in thinking with our hearts rather than with our minds.
I would say we don't think enough with our hearts, which is why so many people are able to be corrupt actually. But let's take a question here.
Don't you think that the government should take reforms, make sure that the earlier steps are implemented properly so as to ensure that there is no more corruption, rather than taking up a pilot project or a project that costs about 1.25 lakh crores to the exchequer?
Sandeep, do you want to take that?
There have been instances of this scheme working better in a lot of states. You know, they quote Chhattisgarh, the Tamil Nadu has been there. Andhra did some modeling long time back. Kerala has done a fair amount of work. If it's just an issue of the fact that this system is particularly dishonest, there are people in it which are corrupt, there's a different ways of handling it. But fundamentally, if it's a system that can work, I think that's what we need to look at. See, corruption, just because the system is corruption and that is why people are propagating it, I don't think it's that such an easy equation.
Okay.
You can say the same about taxation, you can say the same about incentive, you can say the same about just about anything else.
Why don't they
In Kerala, in 2009-10, 23% of the total food grains through the PDS system went to the poor, 77% went to the non-poor. But last statistic,
how many of the poor all, have been excluded?
I'm just giving you the all India number.
Answer your question. 1 minute, answer Sandeep's question.
Percentage of poor accessing PDS. I anticipated that question. In 93-94, percentage of poor accessing, not that they got a lot, was 28.3.
93-94 is a long time back.
36.8, 31.8, and now 52.8.
Who got left out,
but
you're asking?
How much of the total, now 52.8, more people accessing it. How much of the total consumption of the poor came from PDS? In 93-94, it was 10%, 14%, now 23%.
But he's saying nobody got left out.
One second. Last statistic. 80% of the PDS offtake is taken by the non-poor. 80%.
Okay. Tushar, one comment and then a question here.
One point. See, I was involved in two surveys, both in Betul, in by Madhya Pradesh government on selecting the poor. At a ground level, in a village, it's very difficult to understand why economists tell us one house is poor and the other is not. I still haven't been able to figure out how I could, by the same survey, tell Prakash ji that he is poor and therefore he will get 35 kgs and the lady next to him that she is not and she will get only
23.
Okay, I have to move on.
These arguments of who is poor and who is poor are difficult.
So, sir, I actually interviewed Uman Chandy in the Kerala CM while I was living on that experiment. Personally asked him, what do you think is the poverty line? And he very clearly told me on record that it's 70 rupees per day. It's not 72 rupees, it's not 32 rupees, right?
Yeah.
The point being that above the BPL line, the current bill states another 10% cushion to allocate for, you know, any kind of inclusion-exclusion errors.
Yeah.
My point being, it should be significantly higher than 10%, but at the same time, everything above that, the above poverty line, the general category people like us, why are we being given the subsidy?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
That's bizarre. I mean,
it is bizarre.
The bill is lopsided.
I think that's Kirit Parekh's point about exclusion. You have a question?
Yes. I just want to say one thing. I am a very common man of this country, not even living in Delhi. Yeah. Instead of food security bill, I think I should call it vote security bill, be it BJP or Congress.
But can I ask you something? Would you say that? 1 minute. 1 minute. Would you say that if you ever had to experience going without food?
Yeah. Yes.
That's thinking without with your heart, not your head.
I'm not ashamed of thinking you with my are, heart, by
I'm
the way.
Sorry.
I am not in the least.
You can do that in private.
I'm not in the least bit embarrassed or apologetic about thinking with my heart.
Do that in private.
Can you divorce an instinctive elitism of those who never have to think about food from this debate?
You know what causes me anguish is the fact that the laws by the government should be made to make people honest.
Yeah.
And bills like food security bills are going to make people corrupt.
Okay, that's an important argument.
In other words, what I'm trying to say is we have already got PDS. We have improved PDS. Why do we need to have another bill?
I think that's a hugely valid question.
Yeah. Only three sentences.
Yes.
First, the lady asked, and a very valid, because many people share that this is a vote security bill, but
you all also want the same vote, which is why you're not opposing it.
I am telling you.
Yeah.
But I don't think, because Nani Palkhiwala used to say, and I cherish that, because in this country, illiterate intelligence is more effective than educated incapacity. He used to say that. But more than that, what is important is...
I think he's referring to me.
No.
So I'll take that. Okay, but that's okay.
No. But what is more important is my overall theme will always be for poverty elevation, the growth trajectory, infrastructure, investment in education, health, and give them job opportunities.
Yeah.
And they fend for themselves. That is the first. But till that you take that call, you have to supplement more efficiently.
But Sandeep, you have not answered the question. Why do we need another food subsidy program when so many
you don't need yes
no
you don't need
I think
it.
I think what the bill's doing something
you
different.
Don't need it
I think it's
well
I think the
bill is going to be a reality
100,000 crores
quickly,
and you
really
don't need it
really
can you believe
to.
It Sandeep,
I think
going
quickly,
down the drain
there's let been a merit that has been seen in expressing something as an entitlement enshrined as a right.
Yeah.
And as we've seen in Manrega, I think the impact and the influence of Manrega has been far
more
than
all. But
look
what the CAG said on Manrega.
No, that's okay. They will be like,
I want to counter anything
different from
on
all
Manrega.
Food for work programs.
No, we'll have another
from,
show then.
Jawahar Rozgar Yojana, from NREP, IRLEGP, all those programs later on subsumed under NREP. I think Manrega has had a far different impact. I think the kind of output and reports that are coming in terms of...
So why do we need another subsidy program?
Different. It's not another subsidy program.
It's to enshrine it as a
right. It's subsuming all those programs.
It's enshrined it as a right.
So I don't think it's a separate...
Okay,
100,000 crores to
got to end.
Right.
Let's take a question.
Why not?
100,000 crores? Imagine if you spent it on building roads.
Okay, this is the last question here. Excuse me, everybody. This is the last question.
The roads won't be built after this.
Manrega is working...
won't be built or there won't be any electricity after this.
On the food program.
That's the correct argument.
So since Manrega is working... all right.
42 days.
It is working all right. So why not? So we've identified the poor in a certain section.
Yeah.
So why not let the bill go through, and put the Manrega and the this scheme together. So since you've identified, and there are so many other schemes which have identified the poor. And so cash transfers are very much possible together with food, and the option can be given to the people.
Okay, I have to end. Karuna, do you want to briefly come in there? I have to end. Karuna, please.
I mean, if these are ending comments, then I really would like to say that the nutrition that people get, children get in particular, because this covers ICDS, covers maternity benefit entitlements, etc.
But Karuna,
is going
ICDS,
to determine,
six schemes of ICDS will no longer be available to the poor children.
Is that's going the, to determine whether we have a demographic dividend or a demographic disaster.
Yeah.
Whether children get iodine or not determines whether they're intelligent, what kinds of education they get, what kind of jobs they get in the future. So I will say that currently, I think there's a lot of agreement actually politically, even though not here, that this thing should go through. However, what's not being looked at is that the major problem is not starvation.
We can't reopen this debate. I'm ending
it's
now.
Nutrition. And it's nutrition. So you've got to have iodine, you've got to have dal, you've got to have oil, and you've got to also look at procurement and supply.
Okay.
Otherwise, so you'll have people, and in Rajasthan, they're growing rice now.
So that's
dal prices are going up.
Okay, I have to end. So that's
my last thought, my last comment would be,
that unlike economists in other parts of the world, in India, nobody, no economist has ever calculated the cost of undernourished workers, children, mothers, and the huge cost that society pays.
The kind of thing
that
would do.
Okay. I think this is my last word to you.
No, I really think we need a scheme to support people for the nutrition, but there must be better ways than just doing the public food distribution in an extended way.
All right, we'll leave it there with the thought that the real challenge and the really unresolved issue in this debate is actually how do you ensure that food gets to the people who need it? How do you avoid the corruption that is built into the system? How do you avoid wastages? But I will say at the risk of reopening the debate that of course you must think with your mind, but you must never leave your heart too far behind. We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
Very good. A compassionate heart and a clear mind.